India locks in US critical mineral supply to counter China's dominance. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemines AI Hyde. And number 9,650, India and the United States signed a framework agreement on May 26, 2026, to jointly develop critical minerals and rare earth supply chains, formalized by External Affairs Minister Subramaniam Jaishankar and US Secretary of State Marco Rubio in New Delhi. The bilateral deal covers the full critical mineral supply chain, including mining, processing, recycling, and related investments. A separate quad-level critical minerals framework was announced the same day, encompassing the United States, India, Japan, and Australia to counter China and #X27's dominance in rare earth processing. India and the United States signed a framework agreement on May 26, 2026, to jointly develop critical minerals and rare earth supply chains, the most consequential bilateral minerals deal Washington has struck with a major Asian democracy, arriving at the precise moment U.S. military pressure on Iran has partially reopened the Strait of Hormuz and Beijing's chokehold on rare earth processing faces its most coordinated multilateral challenge in a decade. India's External Affairs Minister Subramaniam Jaishankar and U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio formalized the agreement in New Delhi during the final day of Rubio's four-day visit to India. The deal covers the full supply chain, mining, processing, recycling, and related investments. The same day, a separate quad-level critical minerals framework, encompassing the United States, India, Japan, and Australia, was announced, with quad governments and private companies committing to mobilize up to $20 billion through loans, guarantees, subsidies, and long-term purchase agreements. The U.S. Embassy in New Delhi said the bilateral framework would protect sensitive supply chains from coercive market practices and reduce collective vulnerability to single-source monopolies, a formulation that points directly at Beijing without naming it. The embassy statement did not disclose specific financial terms, investment targets, or project timelines for the bilateral component. Those details were not made public. The Plaquemines thesis: this is not a standalone trade agreement. It is the third leg of a rapidly forming US-led critical minerals architecture that now stretches from South Asia to the South Caucasus to sub-Saharan Africa, constructed while Iran's blockade of the Strait of Hormuz reorders energy logistics and forces every capital in the Indo-Pacific to recalculate supply chain resilience in real time. China controls the processing stack. That is the only fact that matters. China holds an estimated 44 million tons of rare earth oxides in its reserves, nearly half of all known global reserves, according to a U.S. Geological Survey report cited by the U.S. International Trade Administration. China itself is home to 60% of the world's rare earth minerals and processes 90% of global supply. Those two figures define the problem every party to Tuesday's deal is trying to solve. For 12 critical minerals, the United States relies entirely on imports. For 29 additional critical minerals, Washington imports at least half of what it needs. Critical minerals span 17 rare earth elements, including 15 lanthanides, scandium, and yttrium, and China holds deposits of 12 of these. The rare earth elements that matter most for institutional capital purposes are those embedded in permanent magnets, the components inside EV motors, wind turbine generators, industrial automation equipment, and the hardware stack that supports AI inference and semiconductor fabrication. India's position in this equation is underappreciated by most Western investors. The Indian government estimates its monazite reserves at 13.15 million tons. Within that monazite, the government estimates 7.23 million tons of rare earth oxides. That compares to China's 44 million tons, so India is not a replacement for Chinese reserves. But India's monazite figure represents a material strategic reserve, and its geographic position outside China's political orbit is the asset Washington is paying for. The constraint is infrastructure, not geology. The U.S. International Trade Administration reported in 2026 that India currently produces only four critical minerals at commercial scale: copper, graphite, phosphorus, and titanium. The ITA attributed the gap to limited exploration, inadequate processing technology, and weak infrastructure. India's 2026 to 2027 national budget introduced a policy response: rare earth corridors across four states, Odisha, Kerala, Andhra Pradesh, and Tamil Nadu, designed as integrated hubs for mining, processing, research, and magnet manufacturing. $20 billion, the capital quad governments and private companies intend to mobilize for critical minerals mining, processing, and recycling across quad member supply chains, using a mix of loans, guarantees, subsidies, and long-term purchase agreements. Rubio's minerals tour reveals a deliberate architecture. Tuesday's India deal did not emerge in isolation. Rubio signed a critical minerals framework with Armenia the same day he concluded his India visit, paired with a strategic partnership agreement and a corridor deal known as the Trump Route for International Peace and Prosperity, TRIP. That 43-kilometer corridor through southern Armenia would give Azerbaijan a direct route to its Nakhchivan exclave and into Turkey, redirecting overland trade flows across the South Caucasus. Armenian Foreign Minister Ararat Mirzian signed both agreements with Rubio at Yerevan's Sfertnats Airport. Rubio framed the relationship explicitly in economic terms, stating that the goal is to create the kind of economic engagement that allows both countries to generate prosperity and that economic ties are among the strongest ways to bind nations together. The U.S. minerals dealmaking campaign accelerated in February 2026, when Washington hosted a critical minerals conference and signed 11 bilateral frameworks with Argentina, the Cook Islands, Ecuador, Guinea, Morocco, Paraguay, Peru, the Philippines, the United Arab Emirates, the United Kingdom, and Uzbekistan, according to the State Department. In December 2025, the U.S. announced a $1.25 billion investment in critical minerals mining at Reko Diq in Pakistan's Balochistan province. In April 2026, the U.S. committed up to $50 million in equity to back the Phalaborwa Rare Earths Project in South Africa. The deal geography, South Asia, the Caucasus, Latin America, Southeast Asia, Sub-Saharan Africa, maps directly onto the U.S. effort to build a parallel supply chain outside Chinese processing control. Caption, U.S. Critical Minerals Deal Activity, December 2025 to May 2026. Financial terms disclosed only where publicly confirmed. Sources, Al Jazeera, U.S. State Department is cited in. The Hormuz Variable, why timing is not coincidental. The U.S.-India minerals deal arrived as U.S. military forces struck targets in southern Iran on May 25, 2026, including missile launch sites and Iranian vessels attempting to lay mines in the Strait of Hormuz, according to a statement by Captain Tim Hawkins, spokesperson for U.S. Central Command. Hawkins described the strikes as self-defense, conducted while maintaining restraint during an existing ceasefire that took effect on April 17, 2026. That ceasefire allowed the partial reopening of the Strait of Hormuz to merchant ship transit and produced a decline in crude oil prices from the peaks reached during the intense phase of the conflict. Iranian negotiators were simultaneously in Qatar for peace talks mediated by the Qatari government. Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson Esmoel Baghiayi acknowledged that agreements had been reached on several issues but warned that a definitive pact was not imminent. The Hormuz situation injects a geopolitical premium into every supply chain that transits the Persian Gulf. Rare earth and critical mineral shipments from Central Asia, the Gulf, and South Asia all carry elevated logistics risk as long as the strait status remains contested. The U.S.-India framework, announced within 24 hours of the Iran strikes, creates an overland and Indian Ocean processing corridor that partially bypasses that choke point. Our view, Washington is constructing supply chain optionality, not supply chain replacement. No single deal displaces China's processing dominance over a five-year horizon. The strategic value is in distributing risk across enough alternative nodes, India, South Africa, Pakistan, Latin America, Armenia, that Beijing cannot choke any single corridor without the overall architecture remaining functional. Investment positioning, where private equity and institutional capital should focus the Quad's $20 billion commitment anchors the demand side. The capital structure, loans, guarantees, subsidies, and long-term purchase agreements, is designed to de-risk early-stage mining and processing projects that private capital alone would not fund at acceptable returns. For private equity and infrastructure investors, that de-risking structure creates an entry opportunity in the midstream, processing and refining assets, rare earth magnet manufacturing, and recycling infrastructure in India's four designated corridor states. India's rare earth corridor policy, covering Odisha, Kerala, Andhra Pradesh, and Tamil Nadu, identifies specific geographies where the government intends to direct capital. These are not exploration stage bets. India has 7.23 million tons of rare earth oxides already estimated in its monazite reserves. The gap is processing capacity. Investors who can bring separation and refining technology, or partner with entities that hold it, are positioned to capture the spread between India's raw monazite value and the finished magnet price. The Armenia Trip Corridor adds a second vector. A functioning overland route from Central Asian mining regions through the South Caucasus to Turkish ports would reduce transit costs and geopolitical exposure for mineral shipments currently dependent on Russian or Iranian routes. Armenia's pivot toward U.S. alignment, accelerated by Russia's non-intervention in the 2023 Nagorno-Karabakh conflict and formalized through Tuesday's strategic partnership, creates a credible new logistics corridor if the TRIP agreement translates into physical infrastructure. The Plaquemines view the market is pricing these deals as diplomatic signaling. They are infrastructure commitments with a decade-long capital cycle. The distinction matters for positioning. China's 90% share of rare earth processing did not emerge from geology. It was built over 30 years through deliberate state investment in separation chemistry, environmental cost externalization, and predatory pricing that shut down Western processing capacity. The U.S.-led framework being assembled in 2026 is the mirror image, using government capital structures to make alternative processing economically viable until private capital can sustain it without subsidy. The second-order effect that the source reporting does not address, India's rare earth corridor policy creates a domestic magnet manufacturing base, specifically for EV motors and wind turbines. That is not a mining play. That is a manufacturing play. The highest-value rare earth product is not raw monazite. It is the neodymium iron boron permanent magnet inside a motor. Every ton of rare earth oxide that India processes domestically into finished magnets rather than exporting as concentrate captures multiples more value. Investors who locate at the magnet manufacturing layer, not the mining layer, capture the margin that China currently extracts from the West. The Hormuz disruption amplifies this thesis. With Gulf Energy Logistics under active military stress, the case for supply chains that do not transit Iranian-controlled water strengthens. India's West Coast ports and the emerging South Caucasus corridor via Armenia both sit outside the Hormuz choke point. Capital that funds processing infrastructure along those corridors is buying both the minerals upside and the logistics resilience premium. The risk is execution. India's track record of converting policy announcements into operational infrastructure on schedule is uneven. The EITA's 2026 finding that India produces only 4 critical minerals commercially, despite holding 30 on its critical list, reflects exactly that gap. The rare earth corridors and the Quad's $20 billion framework are necessary but not sufficient. Investors need project-level due diligence, not country-level optimism. The bottom line: the U.S.-India critical minerals framework, combined with the Quad's $20 billion mobilization pledge and the same-day Armenia deal, marks a structural inflection in how Washington is building supply chain resilience outside Chinese processing control. None of these frameworks, taken individually, displaces China's dominance in rare earth processing. Collectively, across 13-plus bilateral agreements signed since December 2025, they represent the most concentrated U.S.-led effort to build an alternative minerals architecture since the rare earth crisis of 2010 exposed Western dependency. The Strait of Hormuz conflict has added urgency that was previously theoretical. Institutional capital that moves now into midstream processing and magnet manufacturing infrastructure in India's designated corridor states, structured around government de-risking mechanisms, will find entry multiples that close as projects reach production. The window is open because the infrastructure does not yet exist. That is precisely when the return is highest.